Well, today's podcast, Stu and I are both just kind of soaking in a blood bath. I was thinking about taking a blood shower, but blood bath seemed more, you know, more appropriate for the podcast. Let our hair down just a little bit. We talk about the disinformation campaign that the Biden administration is fighting, while strangely, you know, also engaging in a disinformation campaign. Also, the red heifers of Israel. You want to understand what really is happening in the Middle East? Perhaps we should listen to the spokesperson of Hamas about Israel's red heifers. That's also on the podcast today. And more with illegal immigrants, our country's spending, and so much more you don't want to miss on today's podcast right after this. Time for you to take your life back from the pain that's been keeping you down. You know who you are. You've been fighting pain for a long time. Pain's been winning. You think you've tried absolutely everything. I have a daily supplement for you. It's called Relief Factor. It helps your body fight pain by fighting inflammation. Here's the thing that people may not understand. This is not something like Advil. You know, you're like, oh, I got some pain. I need my inflammation reduced. This actually helps prevent pain and make pain go away in the long term because it is a daily supplement that helps your body fight inflammation, which is the main source of pain and disease in our body. See how Relief Factor can help you. Their three-week quick start kit, $19.95, comes with Relief Factor's Feel Better, Your Money Back Guarantee. So give it a try. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So I don't know about you, Stu, but I've been soaking in a bloodbath all weekend. I can't tell you how many chickens I had to sacrifice to get the blood enough for a bath for me. I mean, it's like a Taft bathtub, you know.
That is a very nerdy joke, but I like it.
Thank you.
Any William Howard Taft jokes you can break out in minute one of a national radio program. That's always the right way to go. I like it.
Well, you know, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame.
That's how you
Did
get there.
Did you hear how he expertly just tucked that Taft joke in? Not a lot of opportunities for those. So anyway, this weekend, apparently, according to the mainstream media, and a lot of them, they said that Donald Trump was calling for a bloodbath if he didn't win. Listen, cut three. Cut three.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
And Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies.
As part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath. Bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
Oh, it's been a bloodbath.
Oh,
They're shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Oh,
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm. Oh.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
A this week's bloodbath for Democrats.
A bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going
to
be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath.
May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath this November.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath.
In Alabama, into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Bloodbath that went through with the Attorney General.
Bloodbath. Stop. I can't. I got to get out of this tub. There's just too much bloodbath. Now, this is the media. Saying using the word bloodbath. Now, when you say it's going to be a bloodbath, Stu, what does that usually mean?
Usually, what does that mean? It means something, a blowout, a defeat blowout of some sort in a notable
way. But what
way
if you use
margin?
The words, what if you use the word, like Van Jones did, a slaughter and a bloodbath?
It would also
mean... It's going to be a slaughter and a bloodbath.
That's an interesting question. That does change things, but not much. Basically means, again, really? A blowout, a defeat by a large margin. Everyone knows what it means, and everyone knew what it meant until this weekend, apparently.
I don't know. I don't know if that's entirely true. The media, they heard Donald Trump, and... Here's ABC, cut 10. Or cut 2, whichever one you can.
And former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
Okay, stop for a second. Stop for a second. Stu, can you take this? Can we take this? Play this again, and I want to take it step by step because this sounds like something entirely different than what everyone in the media has said themselves over and over and over and over again, right? About a bloodbath. Let's take this apart because this sounds very dangerous and very different. Go ahead, play it from the beginning.
And former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This.
Stop. Holy cow. Holy cow, Stu. He's on the defensive now because he said something that maybe he shouldn't have said. So he's on defensive. And his fiery rhetoric is saying here from the stage, Stu, that if he's not elected, there'll be a bloodbath. Wow. See, because it's if you're elected in a bloodbath, that means that you would, of course, what? You'd slaughter them. You'd not literally, as we've learned from the media. But a bloodbath would be something that you'd either win or lose at a great number. But if he's elected or if he's not elected and then there's a bloodbath, that's right. That's different, Stu.
It's really not. He's talking about, of course, the economic competition specifically as it's related to China and automobiles.
No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you don't understand.
I don't.
He's elected. If he's not elected, there will be a bloodbath. That's what she said. Now let's listen on.
Okay.
After the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, President Biden's
Stop for a second. Holy cow. Now I think you see the connection.
Oh.
He said if he's not elected, there'll be a bloodbath. In the same speech where he opened up praising those crazy people from January 6th.
Wow, now so I've been turned around. This is dangerous rhetoric.
He was talking about the dangerous people of January 6th, and then somehow or another, he went right into bloodbath.
Right.
If he's not elected.
Well, you said right into. Right. Well, he went right into bloodbath.
Close.
Is that...
Well,
there
were three ellipses. There were three ellipses, and, you know, that's no big deal. Go ahead. Listen to the rest of the report here.
Swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
Stop. There you go.
Well, there wasn't
so
five
the president
ellipses.
Immediately sprung in. No, it wasn't, Stu. It wasn't five ellipses. It was three. And the president knows because the president immediately denounced those words as violent rhetoric. Okay? So what more do you need from this story?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the context? Would it be too much to ask to receive the context of the comments? Like what? Like maybe the lines okay, preceding?
It's not going to change. It's not going to change anything, but here's cut 18.
China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories.
So wait a minute. I'm trying to figure this out. So China's building cars, and then he says he's going to put a tariff on if he's elected. If he's not elected, then somehow or another there'll be political violence everywhere, and his people will do a January 6 on the whole country. And then he says, and they're not going to sell those cars. You know, Joe Biden is right when he came out this weekend and said he's not fit to be president because he's not making any sense there, Stu.
You know,
what does the political violence have to do with China and the sales of cars?
You know, it's interesting. That wouldn't make any sense at all if he were to just convert back and forth between those things without introducing the topic whatsoever. You'd think maybe, and this is the way human speech works, is when you introduce a topic and then comment after that topic without introducing a new topic, people generally think that the statements you've made relate to the previous topic that has been discussed. But when you delete...
But that's not how human nice mustaches works.
See, that's what you just did right there. I don't think is normal. I think you just said nice mustaches. So now are you talking about...
Right.
That was just, see, that's strange. Normally, the way people do is they string multiple sentences together on the same topic,
right?
Unless they specifically introduce a new topic. And if you kind of go by this old school analysis, Glenn, what you'd think is maybe he's talking about an economic bloodbath if...
Yeah.
China is allowed to import cars with the penalties
that seems,
not associated that he
That
would,
seems entirely Campbell Soup's inconceivable.
See, again,
to me.
You did it. Campbell Soup, that's not normal. What you're doing is not normal.
Well, all I know is that's the way they teach it in journalism school. Now, in other news, when we come back, I'm going to tell you all about how the administration is putting together a cute little effort through USAID to make sure that you aren't given false or misleading information, because they say during this election, some people will try to give you mis or mal or disinformation. And they need to be there to protect you from that. Otherwise, it could be a bloodbath. And I'm soaking in one right now. Well, that and... Well, cream of chicken soup.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
So, Stu, you know, we were watching with bated breath. Gee, who's going to win? Putin or... that other guy, and we thought it would be close with that other guy, but apparently not. We were shocked. 90% voted for Putin.
Yeah.
Now, we're not the only ones that said, what about the other guy? Because Stu found something rather interesting while following the Putin election.
Yeah, people don't want to talk about this, but... The reason Vladimir Putin won with 90% of the vote is because, and no one in the media will talk about this, but Vladimir Putin actually had his main opponent thrown off the ballot. There was no one to go against
what?
Vladimir Putin. Yeah, no, I'm serious.
What?
He came up with some justification to get him tossed off the ballot so he couldn't even appear and people couldn't vote for him. Glenn.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. This happened to what's his name?
Yeah, what's his name was not on the ballot. You didn't have like Putin.
Not on the ballot.
What's his name? No. The main guy who was an anti-Ukraine war politician, heavily promoted by the opposition. Yeah. And he went through, got all the signatures that required, and the government came in and said, oh, actually, technicality, sorry, you can't get on the ballot. So of course he won 90%.
Wow.
They kicked his main opponent off the ballot. Glenn. What kind of democracy do you have if you're the only name on the ballot? That's not democracy. There's no choice there. And I just find it to be abhorrent that this...
I tell you, it would never happen here in America,
no,
I'll tell you
God.
That right
yeah,
now.
Makes you feel proud to be an American.
Well, that's the difference between us and them.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's autocratic rulers that do those kinds of things.
They sure
I
do.
I can't believe it. Let me make sure I understand it. So the guy who is in office did everything he could to make sure that the guy running against him couldn't really be voted for because he wasn't even on the ballot.
Yeah, think about that for a second. Think about that. Think about imagine how Americans would react if one of the
it would be like, hey, there's this plague that's going around. Everybody's got to lock themselves into their house for 3 years. Imagine what Americans would do with that. They would say, no way, taking somebody off the ballot.
Think about what our, let's say, founders would think about a person who is president of the United States outwardly arguing to remove his opposition from any opportunity of opposing him. I mean, it's incredible.
I could tell you what they would say, too.
What?
Why are you asking us? We're dusty and outdated. So they wouldn't know. They would never see something like that happen.
No.
You know?
They really wouldn't.
Oh,
actually. Yeah. It's a fascinating thing. And that's why, Glenn, Russia is really bad and we don't want a dictator. That's why dictators do things like that. Dictators say, I should remain in power for as long as I want to remain in power, and my opponent shouldn't even have a chance to win. That's what a dictator does.
But what if you have a really good reason? Like, that's a bad guy.
Well, I mean, that was kind of, you know, one of the things Putin thinks, you know, in Russia, obviously the war is pretty popular there. They think opposition to that war is bad, and you know, they came up with a technical reason. It wasn't just that they thought he was bad. They said some of the signatures were suspicious. They had this technical reason that they kind of came up with.
Suspicious signatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he didn't even get a chance to win. So, I mean, it wasn't even an election at all, Glenn. When you have an election where you only have a few little sprinkled third party candidates on the ballot, that's not an election, Glenn. That's totally ridiculous.
I have to tell you, Stu, when Vladimir Putin, because I've seen this suspicious, you know, signature thing before, what he does is when people are gathering signatures for something that's against him, they find a way, say, hey, there's no, we can't verify the signature. But when they have to verify signatures for like voting, they don't care. They're just like, he voted for Putin.
Oh, my
God.
But
that's signed Uncle Sam. It doesn't matter. You have a problem with people named Sam? And that's how dictators work, Stu.
This is
good thing we don't have that here.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another, again, you could play the national anthem right now and just show the pride in America that we would never do something anywhere near this, and then luckily Russia, then they're very bad for doing it.
Well, they're just wrong, but we have radicals here, okay? Radical, dangerous radicals. You know, it was Woodrow Wilson that first came up with that dangerous radical thing that, you know, we need to have a war on the dangerous radicals here. And that's why he came up with the Espionage Act and put that. And that Espionage Act is from Woodrow Wilson. Still largely in force. And it says that it is, if you convey false information in order to interfere with the American military or promote the success of America's enemies, second, to cause or attempt to cause insubordination within the military, or third, to willfully obstruct military recruitment or enlistment, you can be charged under the Espionage Act, and that's not something to fool around with. Woodrow Wilson knew freedoms, and he did a lot to restrict them because he knew they were sacred and should therefore be restricted from common use. The more restrictive Sedition Act of 1918, which he came up with after, is even better. He amended the Espionage Act to criminalize disloyal.
And are you disloyal?
Profane, scurrilous, or abusive speech about the United States or its symbols. Also speech that impeded war production and statements supporting a country which the U.S. is at war with. So they locked up a lot of people on that one. Now, some of the people thought that, that doesn't sound like freedom of speech and the First Amendment. But the Supreme Court said, hey, when a nation is at war, many things that might be said in time of peace are such a hindrance to its effort that even their utterance cannot be endured so long as men fight. So we're just going to have to suspend. Gosh, I hope we don't ever go to war. More than 2,000 people were convicted under the Espionage and Sedition Act during World War I. About half were convicted. Many of them went to jail. They included people that just distributed leaflets, arguing that the draft constituted slavery. Those who urged labor strikes, they were, of course, thrown into jail. Those convicted included leaders of the Socialist and Communist Party. Eugene V. Debs is probably the most famous. He ran from prison in 1920. But remember, you can't do that. If this president is thrown in jail, he can't run. I mean, sure, Eugene Debs did, but it's different this time. We'll have to keep him off the ballot. A few judges, notably the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis, which is the guy who never lifted a finger to help the people on the St. Louis, or Oliver Wendell Holmes. He was the guy who said, you know, two generations of idiots is enough, and therefore we can sterilize people. Even those guys said, yeah, this doesn't sound like freedom of speech in the First Amendment. And so they can't do that. And so they overturned it after the war. And then in 1921, it was repealed. The Espionage Act remains intact, however. It was used during the Red Scare. But right after the tyrant, I'm sorry, I can't say tyrant, the fascist, no, I can't. The educated Princeton man who became president of the United States and is now is he still the fifth or was it the 15th? I know he was in the top three when I started talking about Woodrow Wilson. I think he might now be down to number 15 as one of the greatest American presidents. He was the Le Carre of human beings. He had all of that overturned finally in 1969. And here's what the Supreme Court said in 1969. Speech can be restricted only if it presents a threat of imminent lawless action.
You're listening to the best of Glenn Beck. Need a little more? Check out the full show podcast.
Well, let's look at the news now. After former President Trump declared his freshly made guacamole the bomb, media outlets in America and across the nation have announced that Trump has threatened to drop a nuclear bomb if he were to lose the election. It's a clear call to civil war, cried MSNBC anchor Joe Scarborough this morning as video played of Trump eating chips. You heard the words, the bomb, from his very own lips. Is there nothing this madman won't do? Several media outlets reported that Trump's threat of nuclear war came immediately on the heels of Trump vowing to demolish democracy when he claimed he was about to demolish some tortilla chips. We're sickened to hear such vile threats from former President Trump, said Scarborough. Watch as Trump openly says he's about to slice and dice tomatoes. Slice and dice? He literally saying here that he plans to cut every one of his opponents into tiny pieces with a knife. How horrific. Babylon is reporting, according to sources, the comments came after Trump served up his world-famous guacamole during a fajita night at Mar-a-Lago. The guacamole, a family recipe for generations, was made tableside by Trump himself and described as absolute dynamite, in addition to many other violent and obviously pro-insurrection phrases. At publishing time, the Babylon Bee reports MSNBC had reported that Trump had also planned to burn Democrats alive after revealing that Trump described the fajitas as sizzling. And that's all the news fit to print. I am amazed how the media just thinks they can get away with, and they do. I don't know if I'm more amazed by the media thinking they can get away with it or the fact that they actually do with so many dumb Americans.
Oh my gosh. Do you hear? Bloodbath. Bloodbath. And, you know, we have a problem because he was talking about a bloodbath for all Democrats. He's obviously going to kill all of the Democrats, drain them of their blood. And then in the water system, he's going to replace water with blood so you could draw a bath. And we're offended on two points. One, he's going to kill all the Democrats and drain them all their blood. And then two, that's an awful waste of a lot of blood. Could we not have baths? Could we take maybe a 2-minute shower? Could we have blood showers? It would probably be better for the environment. I mean, it's madness what they're doing. And but I mean, if that's all you got, that's all you got. You could, if you're the Democrats, you could stand on the fact that you created 42,000 new jobs. I don't know if you know this, but Tyson Foods wants to hire 42,000. Well, I can't say Americans. Well, people who are in the United States. Some would say illegally, but that wouldn't be the Biden administration. Now, they just laid off 1,200 employees as they closed a factory in Iowa last week. But Bloomberg has reported for companies like Tyson Foods struggling to fill unpleasant jobs with a U.S. unemployment rate of 3.9. That's not a real unemployment rate. It's not. I'm sorry. It's just not. That's people who, are seeking employment. That's not, I mean, are you really? We have a 3.9 unemployment rate? Wow. Did we just lose millions of people? Did they just suddenly just boop disappear? Because every place I go, it's like help wanted. And then you see, decent help wanted. Somebody who would actually work wanted, I don't think the 3.9 is the actual number. I think that's the actual number of Americans who are not like,
why don't I just get it all from the government?
That's excluding those people. But the good news is that the Tyson Chicken Company has joined the Tent Partnership for Refugees, which is a good public-private partnership happening here with an NGO. And I think that's great. Now, me personally, what Tyson Foods conglomerate? What else do they make, Stu? Do you know?
Other
you just look that up.
Sure.
The Tyson Foods, you know, because it's like four companies own everything, and you might be added to that at some point. You might be, wait, they also own Glenn Beck? How did that happen? Because I'm thinking that, and it's always really hard to do this. It's very hard. You know, I'm going to boycott Coca-Cola. Well, no, you're not really. You're not. Because every place you go, it's either Coke or Pepsi. And I really don't like Pepsi. And I don't like the places which serve Pepsi. You know, there's just a problem with Pepsi lovers. I'm sorry. I know that cuts out half of. We could still be friends. Not close friends, but we could still be friends if you're a Pepsi lover. I mean, my son is a Pepsi lover, but I have to remind him he's also adopted. So I understand. I understand those things.
You're a great father.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I thought so.
You're welcome.
You just got to learn them, Stu. Mm-hmm. So what's the Tyson family?
So you got your chicken products, beef and pork cuts, chicken nuggets. Some of the brands are
no,
familiar.
No. Yeah, the brands that they
Tyson.
The brands that.
Jimmy
Tyson,
Dean,
yeah.
Hillshire Farm,
oof.
Ballpark, Sarah Lee Frozen Bakery.
Okay, hang on. Ooh, no, hang on just a second. This is, I could get away from Sarah Lee. I should get away from. I well, divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm, if I was Islamic, I would be separated now permanently from Sarah Lee. But it's going to be a problem in the summer with the Ballpark Franks.
Yeah.
But I could do it. I could do it. So far, I could do it. I could miss
chicken. I don't think anyone...
Chicken is... Don't you talk first.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You were getting excited about the chicken. It's hard for me to believe that you'd be able to stay away from any meat-based product company for any length of time. It doesn't seem like a thing.
Maybe I could just say this. Chicken is the salad of meats.
Wow, do you have a bumper mm-hmm. sticker on sale yet that says that?
I think everybody knows that chicken is the salad of meats. It's the thing. Well, if you want to be healthy, have a salad. I'm so tired of salads. Put some chicken in it. Okay, I don't want chicken. They've wrecked it by putting it into salads because it's revealed itself as really just a salad topping.
Nope. And then
they
tried to do a crisis PR with it and create chicken salad, which was just mixing the chicken with mayonnaise and calling it salad, which is not
it's not really a salad.
No,
chicken is a fraud from start to finish. Start to finish.
Wow.
First of all, probably the chicken is probably a dinosaur. Okay, probably is. Probably is. They're just like, oh no, the humans are coming. I should not be a dinosaur anymore. I could be friendly. And that didn't work out well for them. We're just killing them for another reason.
Well,
we should kill them because they're dinosaurs in disguise. And chicken is the salad of meat. Anyway.
And you thought bloodbath so was get away the most from... controversial statement from the right today. No, it's the chicken the salad of meat controversy that is the corner.
It is. So anyway, what else do they make? What other brands come from Tyson?
Some other stuff.
Is that the Umbrella?
Fair, Raised and Rooted.
Never heard of it.
Adelis, Reich
Sounds
brand.
Sounds dangerous.
But basically, I mean, Tyson, Jimmy
what
Dean,
kind of
Hillshire
pandering
Farm.
Is that?
And Ballpark are probably the ones I would say most of all.
Okay. I'm not doing Tyson. I can get away from Tyson. That's because that's the kind of guy I am. I'm not doing any of the hard ones. But as a recovering alcoholic, no Bud Light for me. None.
Brave.
I can do that one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying it, Stu. Thank you for saying it. Now, I just want to let you know, a Lebanese migrant who was caught sneaking over the border admitted he's a member of Hezbollah. He hoped to make a bomb. His destination was New York. His name is Basil Ebedadi. He's 22 years old. He was caught by Border Patrol near El Paso while in custody, while he was, in the U.S. He asked, I'm going to try to make a bomb. No, I'm sorry. He didn't just offer that up. He was asked, what are you doing here? And that's what he answered. He's not a complete idiot. But Basil Elbadi later claimed in an interview that he had been trying to flee Lebanon and Hamas because he didn't want to kill people. Once you're in, you can never get out. So it's either that or he's here to build a bomb. So I'm assuming, I don't know, I didn't have the attention span to read the rest of the article. So I don't know. I'm sure that the Biden administration released him, which is really good because now he might go, you know, he might mend his ways because now he could get a job at Tyson.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flare over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.